The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the IBC Roundtable, where we break down your favorite topic, the infinite banking concept. This is where we go deep and you get to hear from our coaches and ask questions when you're in the inner circle. Joey, some people don't even know what the inner circle is. How could they be a part of it and what exactly is it?
Oh my gosh, it is fantastic to be amongst other people on the same journey, learning about infinite banking. This is the premier place to be. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/innercircle.
Well, you got to hear for myself. I'm Russ, the idea guy, your host. I'm sitting along the round table with my partner, my friend, the man who just joined the 40-year-old club. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
The Italian Stallion, Mr. Joey Murray.
Happy to be here. And I'd like to, first of all, thank my parents for having me 40 years ago. Without them, I don't think I could have done it. And glad to be here.
What about to your wife for the last 20 years of marriage feeding you?
Well, feeding me and not killing me before I turned 40. So yes, thank you, Jessica. I really appreciate you.
All right. I'm taking notes over here.
Well, speaking of the note taker, who I like to refer to as the Indiana Jones of finance, the man who loves to dig deep below the surface, find gold nuggets, Mr. Ernie Brown. What's up, Ernie?
Hey, Russ. I don't know about that, man.
What don't you know?
I do know downtown Ernie Brown.
Yeah,
he more willingly.
Okay,
well, he's partial to that. Hey,
by the way, I had a disappointing. I went to Disney last week. A little bit disappointing because at one of my favorite parks, where the Indiana Jones park, part inside Hollywood Studios. I love to sit there. I love to watch kind of the actors do their thing. I was going to share that with my son. It was closed down, man.
Oh,
I was thinking about you. It was
2020.
Like, how terrible would this be if Ernie was here and he couldn't experience Indiana Jones? Yeah,
well, I think you need to just take a lesson from what's going on in Disney World and let's move on.
All right. On the other side of the round table, the man, the legend, Mr. Incredible, the person who can juggle food and finance all at once, Mr. J.D. Hill. What's up, J.D.? How are you?
I'm well. According to you, I just jumped out of an L.L. Bean catalog, so I appreciate that.
No doubt. You've got finance, fashion, and food all together, the three Fs.
There we go.
All right, so today's F-cubed. Topic is one that it could be tedious, could be like, well, why is this even important? The subject matter is, what else can I do with my dividend? So Joe, if you would, let's talk about what is a dividend as it relates to a whole life policy.
Well, I think it's a good question because you've probably heard the word dividend in other contexts. And so in a whole life policy, it's ultimately a return of premium. Right, it's an overpayment of premium, which is why we actually don't have to pay tax on the dividend. And I think that's a really huge benefit to why we all started our whole life policies And now subsequently learning how to use that to our benefit today is a huge, huge deal.
Well, here's the thing is that Ernie, the author of the book, Becoming Your Own Banker, Nelson Nash, was a, what was his occupation?
Beyond being a pilot, he was a forester.
He was a forester, right? Before that, after that, he became a life insurance guy and then started teaching, became an economist and somebody that ultimately was our mentor. And he always would refer to life insurance as something that it grows and grows. And he would give a comparison to it being like a tree. Now, there's two things a tree can do, Joey. What are those two things?
Grow or die.
It can't shrink?
It will not go backwards, no.
Why not?
Because it has to. It has to continue to expand or it because it, it's consistently being fed and so on.
JD, how do we know that that's true? And by the way, I don't. This isn't a horticulture class, but how do we know that that's true? Because it's going to hold bearing to what we're talking about today. How do we know that a tree can only grow or die? What's a measurable result? What is something that we can look at to know that that is true?
It's fruit.
Well, it's fruit, but also there's something internal.
Or the rings?
Yes.
On the inside of the trunk.
Right. If you look at the rings inside of a tree, they measure what?
I don't know what you just drew on the screen, but... Well, yeah, growth.
Yes.
Years of growth.
They measure years of growth. So that is why we know, you've always heard, well, if you cut open a tree, you can see how old it is.
That's right.
Well, if it didn't grow, that wouldn't be an accurate statement, right?
That's true.
So that growth is something that happens every single year. Well, why do you think Nelson Nash would compare a whole life insurance policy to a tree?
Because it cannot shrink back. It has to continue to grow by one, contractually, and then additionally through dividends and other things.
Okay, you said something there. Is that an insurance, a whole life policy is guaranteed to grow. It has a contractual element into it. And then there's a second function that happens that's not contractual. That means if they have a surplus, an extra amount of money, and that could come from less death claims than they anticipated. It could come from less expenses than they anticipated, or it could come from greater results from where they put their money.
That's right.
And what is that surplus called?
The dividend.
That surplus is called a dividend. That's a fruit of the function of the insurance companies.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The fruit.
Ooh.
I think we're onto something here.
All right. So we're talking about life insurance companies, and anybody who's a part of our call today is knowing that Russ, thankfully, will not make his money as an artist. But but for you watching, you can see that a tree is the equivalent to our whole life policy because it has this function of always growing. Now, how do you kill a whole life policy, Joey?
You quit paying it.
That's not true.
Quit paying the premium.
No. Ernie, can you quit paying a premium and a whole life policy still grow?
Potentially.
Potentially.
Yes.
It depends on the time period.
It depends on how you treat it, right? So there are policies that are designed to stop paying and they keep growing.
That's right.
Because the cash value is guaranteed to grow to equal what?
The death benefit.
The cash value is guaranteed to grow to equal the death benefit. Now, one of the functions of that growth is premiums, is making payments.
That's right.
So that's why you said that.
Yeah.
But I could not make premium payments and it still grow. It just won't grow to the anticipated amount that maybe we thought.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
It's no different than when you look at a tree and you look at its rings, you'll notice that sometimes those rings are thicker than others. JD, what would be a situation where a tree would have had less growth in one year than another?
Not as much water.
Could have been a drought that year. Could have been a heavy freeze that year. Well, it could, in our world, have a 2020 environment.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It could be going through an economic situation. So whole life policies, even though they grow, can have years where the growth is greater than others. And that will be a function of the dividend.
That's true? Right. Yep. I'm with you.
All right, so let's talk about that. So we want to talk about how dividends work. I think the way that you have to do this is be able to break it down to my 8-year-old Ryan. And I want to make sure that as you're listening to this, we're talking about dividends. We can do four things with dividends. And I'm going to have this analogy as I'm drawing this out, is this dividend is the fruit of our tree. So that fruit is going to be like a little bitty apple.
Or that looks like a cherry, but I'm going to give you apple. I mean, are we talking Granny Smith or?
It could be Red Lady. Delicious.
Okay.
I mean, just pick your favorite.
I don't know about Granny Smith. Can this be a George Washington tree?
It can be. Yeah. I mean, JD, what's your favorite? I know you like a good apple.
We'll just make it a cherry tree.
I do. Yeah. I'm a fan. I like Pink Ladies and California Gold.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're gonna call the fruit, the apple of our tree is going to be our dividend, right?
Yep.
JD, we can do four things with the dividend. The first thing is what? What could we do with that apple?
You can sell that apple for cash.
We buy apples all the time, right?
Yep.
People who have apple trees, take them to the market. They turn around and sell them for cash. So if you get a dividend from an insurance company, you can literally sell it and put the cash in your pocket.
True. 100%.
Nelson Nash talked about it, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. I remember distinctly him sharing his whole journey. And with his oldest policy, he told the insurance company to start sending him the dividend checks every year. And he did that for 4 years. And then the next year, they sent him a notice. They said, hey, by the way, fill out this tax form because we're going to have to tax you. You've now exceeded your basis and we need to start taxing you on any money that you take out. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. No, you are not going to send me taxes on that. He said, I told them to start buying additional insurance, paid up insurance with that dividend. And I told them what to do with my dividend. They don't get to tell me. I just remember that very clearly.
No, I love
and,
that.
And he talks about it in his second book. And in the book, he's got a picture of like four checks.
Exactly.
Of course, he would still have them.
Yeah.
There's a picture of those dividend checks.
And what's the name of that book again, Ernie?
It's called Building Your Warehouse of Wealth.
Yeah, no doubt. Great book. So the second thing that we could do with the one of these apples, one of these dividends, is that we could take the apple and give it to an institution and allow them, because it has value, to pay us interest for that, right? So we could allow that dividend to accumulate as interest. Now, what would be the benefit, or when would be an environment, JD, where allowing our dividend to accumulate interest, when would we see value maybe to do that?
In a high interest rate environment.
Yeah. So think back to the early 80s when Nelson wrote this book, right? We saw interest rate they rise into the low 20s and in a real super rapid kind of inflationary environment. The portfolio of an insurance company is in long-term bonds, right? In long-term leases.
Right.
So when those instruments are not going to move up or down very rapidly, so when we have a dividend and we reinvest it at the company, which we'll talk in a second, that stays in the portfolio of the company. So in a situation where we're a super rapid interest rate environment, you know, increasing, we may want to change the election on our dividend to allow it to accumulate at interest. Now, there is a problem if we do that. What is the issue, Ernie, that we would deal with if we allowed the dividend to accumulate at interest?
Well, it's the same problem if we let our money grow in interest anywhere else. We would pay taxes on the gain.
We would have taxes on the gain. And that money is outside of the insurance policy too, right? It's not a part of the contract. It's not a part of the tree. If you will, we've separated the fruit from the tree.
You're harvesting some of the fruit.
All right. The third thing that we could do with this dividend, this apple, in order to maintain this tree, we got to water the tree, as JD said. That's not free unless it comes from rain. We've got to fertilize the tree, which that's not free unless we've got local cows that just happen to swing by, right? For most people, though, it costs money to maintain it because we have to trim the limbs. We have to keep all the weeds away from them, right,
yep,
to get the most advantage. The same thing could be true is that we have to have we have expenses within the insurance company that and so forth inside the insurance policy. So we could do what with the dividend, Joey?
We can actually give it back to the insurance company, sell it back to them.
We could use it to reduce the cost of our policy. They call that reducing the premium.
Which, not to keep bringing up Nelson every time, but he actually mentions that in the early years, he didn't understand all that he understood later in life about how these worked. And he was telling the insurance company to use the dividends to reduce his premiums. So just as an example, if the premium was $10,000 a year and he was telling them to take a $3,000 dividend to reduce it, he only had to pay seven. And in his old way of thinking, that was a benefit to him. But later on, is it in his second book he mentioned this?
That's right.
He's like, man, if I had not done that, essentially he stunted the growth, if you will. If we're continuing with the trees and the apples here, he stunted the growth of that tree. It would have been potentially 10 times more efficient had he continued to pay those premiums out of pocket instead of reducing it by the dividend.
Yeah, as long as we're staying with the apples and the trees and not the birds and the bees, we're good, right?
Exactly, Russ.
Okay, good. All right, so the fourth thing that we could do with this apple is something that's really interesting. Inside the apple, if you cut open the apple, and Nelson actually would talk about this, is if you cut open the apple horizontally, not vertically, you'll notice something about that apple. You'll notice that it has 5 points. And he would tell us, because it has 5 points, what family is it from, Joey?
I don't remember the name of it, but it had to do with roses.
It was from the rose family.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But those 5 points that you're seeing, what are making up those 5 points?
I'm sorry. Come again.
What's making up those 5 points? When you cut it open, what is making that up? When you look at it, it's the seeds.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The seeds are what's a part of that.
Okay.
So if we took that apple that comes from the tree and we planted it in the ground, what would happen with a little bit of water, a little bit of fertilizer, a little bit of sun, good environment?
We'd grow a little baby tree.
You grow a little baby tree, wouldn't you? And that little bitty baby tree would do what? It would create its own little fruit.
Man, that's looking way better now, Russ.
Yeah, you guys are missing out if you're only listening this to the podcast, because you're missing out on an amazing art here. But here's the fourth thing is that if we plant that seed, the fourth thing you can do with the dividend is buy what's called paid up additions, which is nothing more than reinvesting and planting that seed to create a little tree, and that little tree will create more dividends, will create more fruit, and we can reinvest
those.
So
that's this is a visual in my mind of the compounding effect of these policies.
So given a normal interest rate environment, a level interest rate environment, which of these four things do you think you would want to do? You can put that in the chat, by the way, just so that you following along with this, I make sure we're not losing you. But which of the four things, you could take the dividend and sell it for cash, you could let it accumulate at interest, you could use it to reduce the premium, or you could plant the seed and buy paid up additions so that it could produce more fruit? Put that in the chat for us so that way I know that you're keeping track with us. That's right. You want all the seeds. We want to take that seed and buy paid up additions with it, because we want that policy to continue to
grow.
To grow.
And multiply. That's right. So I hope that this has been helpful for us to be talking about how dividends, one, are created, two, how they can then be used. And here's the key that I want to make a good point of, and what I learned from Nelson, is you are the one that dictates what happens with your dividend. You're never a receiver of someone else telling you what you have to do, which is what we have been taught in all of the other financial instruments that exist. It's like, here are the rules in which you can operate, and they're dictated to you. In this case, you get to tell it what to do.
All right. So Ernie, we work with several different insurance companies, and we make decisions on why we use the companies we use. And one of those is looking at their dividend history, right? So for someone who's never participated in this process, talk to them a little bit about how dividends how frequently are these paid? Are there bad years where there is no fruit?
Mm-hmm. The answer is no to that answer. And I think what you're talking about there, one thing that comes to mind is there's some language out there that you might run across where people tout these insurance companies have never missed a dividend payment.
Right.
And for these mutual companies, right, mutual companies pay dividends. It is very common that those companies have paid a dividend every single year of most likely their really long existence. One of the things we're looking for is really old companies that have a long history of doing this. So it is the norm for insurance companies to have always paid a dividend. And you think back to the Great Depression, World Wars, a couple other wars in there, some economic distresses, .com bust, the Great Recession. We'll see what's about to happen coming up here pretty soon. These insurance companies have paid a dividend every single year through that period and haven't missed.
That's right. When you said mutual insurance company, that means the policy holders are the owners. They are the owners of the tree. And so they are the ones who own the gold. And so the fruit in which it produced comes to them. In the example of stock companies, these are companies give some examples, Joey, of stock companies.
I mean, AIG is the one that everybody knows.
Yeah. John Hancock, right? Prudential.
Prudential.
Yeah. If you can type in an insurance company's name and you see a stock ticker, that would tell you they are a stock company. So even though we may be the insured of the company, the profit, the dividend, the apples don't go to us. They go to someone else. They go to the stockholder. So good point there. JD, last thoughts on dividends and the things that you can do with it before we wrap up.
I mean, I think the thing that's really important to understand about the dividends is that you have options, which I think people want is options and flexibility and control over your money, which really goes to underscore, you know, everything that we teach as it relates to IBC. And so I'm really glad that we're talking about something that would ordinarily be relatively boring. And you did a great job of artistically drawing wonderful cherries that are supposed to be apples. And so I just want to applaud you for that.
Which, by the way, you guys can give me grief that they have long stems, but they had to be on the tree connected somehow. You know, I think what you see in the grocery store is they've already pulled those stems off. I'm just talking about one fresh off the tree.
Yeah, it's still a terrible drawing. Okay.
Yeah, if you say so.
All right, last thoughts, Ernie.
Well, I think one of the great things is to look at these policies over a long period of time. We look back at the history of these insurance companies and we like the dividend performance. And by the way, the policy is going to grow even if it doesn't earn a dividend. But we look at using that dividend and using it specifically to purchase paid up additions and to see what that does with our access to cash. And in the end, our death benefit. We're not so overly concerned with the growth of the policy, but it is a really cool thing to look at as it relates to what we're leaving behind and what we have access to use.
Well, here's my parting shot, and I'll let you finish it up, Joey, is that I was just working with a guy and his first policy, he just started, and he got his dividend, you know, announcement in the mail, and he's looking at that policy statement. And he excitingly sent it to me. He was like, is this right? I was like, yeah, it is. And looking at the math on it, it was about 4.5% of what he had put in the dividend. Like for that first year, it was like, that's pretty amazing. And I was like, that's just a fruit of that tree, right? That is what that tree did. And that's awesome. And he's like, in the environment that we're in, there's no place where I could have stuck my money and had that sort of experience and had access. Because by the way, he took the money put in that policy and went and bought a mobile home park with it. So he's got a lot of other things working with that dollar. but he also had that dividend in addition to. And that's what I always like to tell people. This is in addition to. You said, Joey, it's gonna grow no matter, Ernie, you say he's gonna grow no matter what. That dividend is an addition to. But man, we are always so excited. And the only thing we didn't say that maybe we should have is, are these dividends taxable?
No.
If we buy paid up additions.
That's right.
If we reinvest them in it, then that dividend is a return of premium and it's not taxable to us as long as we're keeping it inside the policy. And the way that we use these policies, we use loans against them. We will never create a taxable event in that situation.
And that's what my last thought was actually going to be, Russ, is as entrepreneurs, I don't care, actually, entrepreneur or not, we need to be about having assets in a tax-free environment. So the dividend to me is just in further just confirmation that what we're doing with these policies and creating our warehouse of wealth, as we've mentioned multiple times in today's show, Nelson's book, is that we are continuously putting money in a position to not be affected by taxes. And as we talked about, if we've elected for that to buy paid up additions, it's automated even for us, right? We're automatically putting money into tax-free environment. And so anyway, I hope this has been helpful. Next week, we've got our topic is going to be, how long should I pay my paid up additions rider? Not to be confused with buying paid up additions through your dividend. This is how you're electing to pay your paid up additions into your policy. How long should you do it? And there's a lot of controversy about this. So hope you'll join us here next week. Guys around the round table, thanks as always for being here. And thank you for listening in. We'll catch you next week.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms, in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.